So Dawn Goes Down Today by Moonflower Rose. Rating explicit. Summary. The first morning after Harry brought Draco home, he'd woken all at once with a gasp and everything, like it'd all been a dream and someone had shaken him conscious. Time ticks away. It's thump, thump, thumps of relentless tattoo. A bird caught in a chimney, a buzzing sound from up the stairs, growing louder. Draco. He knows it has to end. They both know. Harry is standing on the basement stairs. He's going to go up. Draco can't stop him. Won't. Shouldn't, but desperately wants to anyway. Draco. Their time together has to end because Harry doesn't belong here. Draco knows. He knows. From the moment Harry walked through the front door, came down to the kitchen, put down the shopping that he bought in another universe and kissed Draco with a smile in his eyes. Draco knew. Not mine. Not this one.
Not mine.
Don't, Draco says. He doesn't want to hear it. Not the tenderness in Harry's voice. Not the regret. Not the excitement, the longing for home. This is what they've been working towards. The research, endless boxes of files, a million musty tomes and weeks without sleep. This was the point of it all. Find a way, make it happen, get him home. He'd tried just as hard as Harry to get them here. And now, on the bottom step, Drake has lost his courage. Harry has to go back. He doesn't belong. This isn't his place, not his basement stairs, not his kitchen, not his chicken passanda, nor his friends, who just went home through the flu, tipsy and well-fed and happy. His husband isn't at the table, finishing off the last of the wine. His children aren't asleep upstairs in the bedrooms. His dog isn't tucked up in the garden with a wonky-winged hippogriff. It isn't fair. Draco doesn't want it to end, because he's selfish and scared. And he's jealous, and his heart is... His heart is... It might have been all right to keep going on the way things were, when Draco didn't know, that somewhere else he could have this kind of love. With Potter. The kind with gold rings dulled by a life spent together. Harry's going to go up the stairs.
Please don't leave me.
Not supposed to say that. Not supposed to be selfish. Harry's eyes shine. He's holding a lime green deer. A funny blocky thing. Slowly it falls from his hand, bounces hard off the flagstone floor and comes rattling to a stop between them with one dented ear.
Sweetheart, I'm not leaving you.
A lie. Liar. He's leaving Draco. He's going back to his husband and the children that a better Draco gave him. He is leaving Draco. He should. Draco gets it. He understands perfectly. The kitchen is dim. There's guttering tea lights on the sideboard burned almost down to their ends, and the big lamp turned low the way Potter likes it when he's got people around. He likes the way yellow light is friendly, buttery and warm even when the weather outside's cold. People like to linger in Potter's kitchen, and Potter makes it easy to stay. They're both the same in this.
You know I have to go home.
Draco knows. Harry has to go home. There's still wine in the glasses, plummy dark and congealing, peaches and cut glass dishes going soft in pools of melting cream, naan getting dry and hard on the breadboard, Harry's grandmother's chicken, cold and uncovered in its tureen, a skin forming on the gravy. Everything's spoiling rapidly as they stand there, looking at each other, time speeding up and slowing down at once. The deer falls in slow motion, the fruit rots and the cream curdles, the wine evaporates the sediment, and Harry waits on the step. Draco wants to say, this is your home, but it's not. He knows that. Not his home, not Draco's Harry. A lie. Harry will go up and Draco can't stop him. Potter won't come back down. Draco knows this already before it happens.
When it happens again.
Harry will go home to his beautiful children, his ridiculous pets, his unscarred husband.
Acne on his cheeks.
Who made better choices? Who deserves him? He never asked about his mother. Does she live over there? He wants to ask now, but his voice won't come out.
Is Draco alive? Is he in the castle?
Selfish. Never asked when he had the chance. Draco will be alone here, without them, when Harry goes up the stairs. No Harry, no Potter. He'd be wandering up and down the house and through the garden like a ghost, like Miss Havisham in a mouldering wedding feast, like Arwen and Omeo mourning her king, looking for pot in the wards, in the eaves, in the cellar, in the honeysuckle and ivy rampant on the garden wall, between the fox shit in the grass and the gnome holes and the spiders in the attic, aching for him forever with a chest full of open wounds again. The better Malfoy will get to keep them both, and he deserves it. He earned it. I always meant to tell you. Draco could never say it. Too scared, too selfish. One bad choice after the next. Forever.
I knew, Draco. I always knew.
Kitchen spices and coffee grinds and expensive shampoo, and the warm comfort of his arms tight around Draco's body, his lips on his forehead. The last things Draco would know for sure about Harry Potter.
Love you, idiot.
Harry's going, and Potter won't come back. Up the stairs. There, then gone again. Borne away by ancient magic, a sucking cold, leaving Draco only in an endless thump. 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 Draco woke suddenly with a convulsive swallowing breath. It felt for a minute like he was breaking the surface of somewhere wet and dark and deep, that he'd been under for too long and was almost out of air.
Thump. 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 Thump.
The sound of his heart was loud in his ears. Terrified. Draco took another noisy breath and tried to take inventory. His heart was pounding, yes, a distracting thrum of blood that blotted out everything, including his own harsh breaths. But it was easing, incrementally. He was not drowning at the bottom of an endless pit. He was all right. His airways were clear, and oxygen was sucking into his lungs in deep gulps. He was in bed, in Potter's bed, alive and well. He could feel the reassuring latent hum of his magic. He wasn't in the basement kitchen a week prior watching a version of the love of his pitiful life walk away from him. He was in bed. He was in Potter's bed. He was naked, in Potter's bed. And Potter was naked in Potter's bed too. He'd been inside Potter not all that long ago, in several ways. Inventory. Heart, lungs, magic, all in order. Location, also correct. Mortality status, confirmed. Draco pushed himself upright when he jerked out of dreaming like a marionette, and now he sat with sheets puddled around his bare hips and clenched in both fists. He forced himself to let go, breathing in. 2, 3, 4. Out. 2, 3, 4. His hands relaxed. Before his body decided to launch itself upward from a nightmare like a puppet, Draco had been asleep on his back with his brand new boyfriend. One Harry James Potter. Order of Merlin, first class. Tucked neatly along his left side. Neatly was perhaps a slight exaggeration, given Potter's hair was doing something in defiance of the laws of physics, as usual. And he had an unfortunate whiff of sweat and spunk about him, a natural consequence of all the sex they had through the night instead of sleeping. And he drooled a bit on Draco's chest, and it had dried and was flaking on his cheek, and his breath was somewhat on the sour side, and he snored. He was magnificent. He was real. He'd come back. But magnificent snoring smelly realness aside, Potter had been fairly soundly asleep too, up to that point. Now he was not.
Jesus Christ.
Potter's voice was scratchy, half awake. Another first for Draco, to get to hear him like this.
You all right? What happened?
He'd been flung back to the side of the bed when Draco sat up, and now patted blearily across the sheets until his fingers connected with Draco's hip before he muttered a summoning spell for his wand. No glasses, of course. Drapes closed against another summer's day. Potter reached for him first, before his wand. Draco first. His heart ticked back up a few increments. Draco's eyes had adjusted to the dim light of the bedroom now. Potter's bedroom. In Potter's house. Potter right there. Touching his thigh. Impossible to have imagined this only a day ago when Draco was in his own bed. Unwashed and miserable and stinking of satay sauce. And sticky with dried tears. Unreached for. And definitely unfucked. Now he knew what strong hands felt like pushing his thighs apart, what a wet mouth felt like on his cock, what it felt like to be inside someone, inside Potter. Cock and heart. Both. Was this what happened when you started having sex? You thought about it even more incessantly than when you were a randy virgin? The heavy curtains held back most of the July heat, but there were little gaps here and there. The light outside looked bright. The day will advance. It was late. They'd been up past dawn, touching each other. All was well.
I'm all right.
Draco fumbled for Potter's fingers, giving him a squeeze.
Sorry. It's fine. Potter slumped back, yawned enormously. I got used to it over there. Garrus does the exact same thing. Like bolts awake like he's just been poked in the arse. Scared the piss out of me the first few times. But by the end of the first week, I hardly noticed it. You let the dog sleep in your bed? Potter inched his way back to Draco's side and pushed his face half into Draco's pillow with a second, even bigger yawn. Crept an arm around Draco's hip. You say let, as if you think I had any decision-making power whatsoever in that house. Potter gave a sleepy sigh, not unlike a dog himself. I had to leave the door open, otherwise Gary would whine and scratch in the night, and it'd wake up Belly. Gary, Draco repeated absently. His eyes travelled over Potter's body, the curve and dip of his hips, the long lines of his legs tangled in sheets in the summer heat of the bedroom, his arm heavy and warm on Draco's belly. He knew that body now. He tasted all sorts of parts of it and touched even more of them. It made Draco's face hot. His stomach tumbled as if he was plummeting after a tenacious snitch. Incredible that he slept a wink instead of staring at the middle of Potter in his bed. But he was exhausted after all. It had been a horrible week, and then a very long and physical night. Your heart's racing, Potter said. His hands were warm. Weird dream?
Yeah. And then I wasn't sure for a second if I was really awake or if it had come true.
Potter's hand rubbed warm and reassuring over Draco's chest. You're sure now? You're in bed with me. I had that dream about as many times.
Me too.
Letting his fingers wander up Potter's side and right into his curls, he twisted a chunk of hair around his forefinger and pulled it gently. He could do that. He was allowed.
Dream you didn't smell like...
Draco chirred off and let his scrunched nose say the rest.
How dare you, in my own house?
Potter rolled fully on top of Draco, and for the next few minutes they wrestled, Draco laughing breathlessly while Potter tried to tickle him and kiss him and hold him down all at once. Straddled now over Draco's hips, wide awake, but still soft in the drowsing heat. Potter smiled down at him. The sunlight was poking more insistently through the gap in the drapes now, and a little finger of it lit the silver streak above Potter's ear. Draco lifted his hand to sweep just his fingertips through that patch. He'd imagined doing this so many times over the years. It felt just the same as the rest. Terribly silky, very tuggable.
Hey, did you hear what I said last night?
His heart was still going fast, but it wasn't panic anymore. To think they could have been doing this for years if Draco just had some courage.
Do you mean this morning, when you woke me up 5 minutes after I'd fallen asleep by slapping my ass? Yeah, then.
Potter smiled. They were quite different, actually, his two Harrys. Unique. He had the right one here with him.
Yes, I heard you.
I love you, Draco Malfoy, Potter said anyway,
firmly, like he was giving Draco a warning not to argue back. Draco's heart kicked it up another notch.
Halitosis and that fucking massive spot and all. Just wanted to...
Draco can't help kissing him, leaning up for it. Cat breath and body odour and partly dry drool be damned. And he felt Potter's smile against his lips. Fancied he could still smell tea and Tunnock's tea cakes on him. A rogue thought poked through. That Potter's bright blue briefs must have been in the stairs where he shed them hours ago.
I don't have halitosis, and any suggestion otherwise is defamation.
The fret was somewhat lessened by the breathless quality of his voice, post-kiss.
I merely have perfectly normal morning breath that is easily rectified with any numbers of simple charms, one of which you used last night to nearly cauterize the inside of my mouth. Retract your claim, or you'll be hearing from my solicitor.
Julie retracted. You do have the biggest pimple I've ever seen, though. It's like the Eye of Sauron. That's not defamation. That's a fact.
Draco pinched him hard on the tip, and Potter hissed, laughing.
That spot was born from extreme stress and heartbreak, thank you. Show it some respect.
Yeah, well, I can feel it watching me, so I suppose I better.
Potter's dimples were out.
Can I interest you in your spot in breakfast?
There were little crinkles beside his eyes.
I've got posh ham and some Gruyere, I think. I could do the three of us an omelette and some sourdough toast.
Draco let himself sink back into the pillows, letting his eyes wander down from Potter's pink, wet mouth, down his throat and over his chest with its scrolls of dark hair, down his belly to his cock.
Maybe you could fuck me first.
Draco barely got the words out around his breath and the flames blooming across his face. And then he put his hand on Potter's soft cock, so he could feel it rapidly harden under his fingers. Potter breathed in sharply.
I might need a healing charm before we go again.
Potter licked his lips.
No,
Draco said, mortified at his own impatience and for needing to spell it out.
I mean,
You should fuck me, like you said you would, last night.
Potter blinked.
Like, put your big dick in me, Potter.
Merlin's tits. Potter laughed, shocked, eyes wide. Draco tightened his fingers warningly and scowled.
You're not supposed to find that funny.
You took me by surprise. Potter was so hot in Draco's hand, so hard now. Throbbing. Draco was hot too, and hard. I didn't think you'd want to. I thought it was just, you know, bed talk.
Why not?
Potter shook his head slightly, put his hand around Draco's, around Potter's cock.
I mean, I thought he didn't. It seemed like they... I'm not him. We're not them,
Draco said fiercely. And Potter put his other hand gently on Draco's jaw.
Of course we're not. We're us.
He looked down at Draco seriously.
I just assumed you'd prefer it the other way. Potter, were you not the one lecturing me about assumptions, making an ass out of you, an umption?
No. Potter blinked at him and loosened a surprised laugh.
Are you quoting The Long Kiss Goodnight?
Oh, Merlin, no. That had been Harry, not Potter. Draco felt himself get even redder.
Look, I've had sex for the first time less than 12 hours ago. I've no idea what I prefer. Give me something to make a proper comparison to.
Give you something, Harry repeated, a little stupidly. That was flattering, being able to confuse him with arousal.
Yeah,
Draco said, not needing to put on the breathlessness in his whisper.
Like your big dick.
I'd love to put my big dick in you, Malfoy.
So why don't you get on with it, then?
Draco didn't take his hand off Potter's cock, but he did stretch up towards the headboard with the other, arching his back. It felt sexy, even if Draco had no idea what it looked like. Might look completely daft.
Will you be gentle with me? Nobody's ever touched me there. You'll be the first. You'll be...
It was gratifying to see how quickly Potter scrambled to pull down the sheets, swearing as he hurried. His cock was pointing right at Draco, wet at the tip. Draco couldn't quite believe that he was allowed to see it, touch it, put it in his mouth.
You've gone very pink, Aura Malfoy,
Potter said, husky and amused. He lowered himself back down onto Draco's lap, velvety warm. Kissed Draco softly in the jaw, mouthed down his throat. They were touching, down there, his cock and Potter's cock. Potter's tight balls dragging down Draco's thighs as Potter dropped down on his elbows, spread his knees, began a steady shuffle down Draco's body. His lips and tongue did electric things to Draco's clavicle, chest, the middle of his torso, right down to his navel.
What are you thinking?
Draco took a deep breath.
I'm thinking that this is quite big.
Potter looked up the length of Draco's torso, his lips resting on the skin just above the darkening hair at Draco's groin, and he was fucking smirking, the absolute shit. He pushed up a little on his forearms and looked down his own crotch, then back up at Draco with a grin.
Appreciate the compliment, but it's average. Maybe a little above average at best.
Emotionally big, you twat. Merlin, what will it take to make you shut up? Ah!
Potter made a happy sound as he swallowed Draco slowly down.
Oh, Harry, I...
It was astonishing how quickly Draco transitioned from bitchy complaints to a whimpering mess. Or it would be, if he had any brain power to spare for such thoughts.
Reduced to babble. Just the way I like you.
Potter mouthed at Draco's balls, pushed his thighs apart with firm but gentle hands until Draco was spread apart.
How can you know how you like me? You've barely had me.
Potter's head popped back up from between Draco's legs, and Draco made an unhappy noise. Why must Draco always backchat when the lover several of his lifetimes was sucking enthusiastic on his perineum?
I already know that I like you any way I can get you.
Potter's mouth was even redder now, and he pulled his bottom lip between his teeth, a considering look on his face.
But on your back with your legs open, it's definitely become one of my faves.
Harry!
God, you're so hot.
Well, I've been told that's how it's done.
An expert, are you?
Potter licked at his inner thighs. Up, down, along the curve where his buttocks parted. Tiny kitten licks as he went along, broadened out the scent of him. Draco made a sound, a wounded noise, but he was far from wounded. He was coming alive. He was in bloom.
Going to teach me a thing or two.
Clueless version, actually. You may have heard the tell. Fuck me, don't stop.
Shh, I'm going to. I'm going to make you feel so good, Draco.
Potter surged up and kissed his mouth, and Draco clutched him with his whole body, his arms around Potter's back and his legs around his hips.
They rocked together with increasing urgency, and Sir Potter started to laugh and murmured,
"Stop, stop," into Draco's mouth. "I don't want to waste an orgasm on the back of your leg."
Draco tried to calm down. He did very much want to be taken, properly.
"I'm going to start with my fingers, and then I'm going to put my cock in you."
"You keep talking, but I remain unfingered." Draco licked his lips. "Put it in me, Harry. I've waited, even though I didn't have the right. But I always wanted to be with you, and I wasn't willing to compromise for anyone less. And now I really shouldn't have to wait any longer. It's cruel, actually, to tease. I'm 35 and practically about to die of old age."
"So glad you saved it for me, you old fart," Potter said,
his dimples in full force, a mirth in the shape of his mouth. But his eyes were entirely sincere.
"I'll try to be gentle if you try not to complain too much."
"I don't complain. I give constructive criticism. Oh!"
Potter finally put his fingers to use. "You remember how this goes?" Potter whispered into Draco's throat. "From last night, when you did it to me."
Draco was beyond response already. He was on fire, his eyes stinging with it. The thick bluntness of Parry's thumb, wet with oil, sliding in slowly to the first knuckle, waiting for some signal from Draco's body that he must have received, because now his thumb was into the second knuckle, palm flush with Draco's backside, and Draco's lungs were too full to breathe. "More," he panted, "please."
"This will feel different," Potter said,
too calmly. Draco wasn't calm.
"Because the angle's different. My fingers are longer and out."
"You'll shut the fuck up and do me already," Draco moaned. Potter withdrew his thumb. The finger was definitely more. Then Potter curled it, and Draco possibly went blind.
"God, I could come from just watching you ride my hand like this," Potter was saying,
as bewildered and amazed as Draco felt. Draco swore. His hips moved, instinct more than technique. "Another! I want more! Fill me, fill me, fill me, fill me!" Potter gave him another, and Draco fought not to come.
"Don't worry if you finish," Potter said,
like he was inside Draco's mind, too. Potter's voice soothed, the fingers not currently thrusting inside Draco rubbing comfortably over Draco's hip. His fingers ached where they were fisted in Potter's gorgeous linen sheets, an echo of his bad dream.
"We have all the time in the world, okay?"
They were finally home, finally together. They'd all the time in the world.
"We should get you onto your hands and knees. It's better for the first time."
"No, please." Draco didn't want to move. He didn't want Potter to stop moving his fingers inside him. "I want to feel close."
"I'll be close. So close."
Potter whispered into Draco's neck, helping him up and over, hitching his hips up even though Draco felt like a spaghetti for bones.
"Like this," he whispered again.
And he was a hot weight over Draco's back, a tight arm low on his hips. He was close, his mouth right at Draco's ear and throat and the nape of his neck.
"See how close I am?"
"Yes," Draco breathed out, then breathed in again. Potter's smell was everywhere. His hands were everywhere.
"Ready?"
Potter was finally pressing Draco's knees apart and sliding the head of his cock against Draco's rim. He felt loose, between his legs and a little bit in his soul, like he might slide out of gravity and float if Potter wasn't there to hold him fast. Might slide between universes. He mustn't. He had to focus, not drift, tether his floating consciousness to the bed and make it good. He had to be good for Harry, as good as he could be when he'd had sex approximately 2.5 times. "Harry!" It was pushed out of him in a gust when Potter thrust in sharply. What a gorgeous ache. What a stretch. What a delicious bloom of pain amid the melty pleasure of fullness and Potter's wet fingers stroking over Draco's cock. What a fool. A proper pair of idiots. They could have been doing this for years. A decade.
"Remember when we went through that yoga phase?" Harry panted,
his voice low.
"Sunday mornings or September. I think it was about 5 years ago. Used to wear those grey joggers."
"Yoga? Are you serious?" Merlin, it was good. It felt good like a firm massage on a strained muscle, hurt chased with bliss, the way it felt good to press on a bruise.
How was Potter talking about yoga? "Do you remember Downward Dog?"
Draco remembered precisely nothing, but Potter pushed down on Draco's back with a firm but gentle hand, and Draco took the hint, stretched his arms in front of himself, and let his forehead meet the sheets. He arched his spine, and Potter muttered,
"Perfect, sweetheart,"
and then held him loosely by the hips and fucked in deep. Draco was going to come. This was everything he imagined with his hands down his pants at night, on his side with 2 fingers pressed inside himself while he jerked just the tip of his cock with the other hand, Biting down his pillows, he spurted all over his belly. It was better, infinitely. He was smarting and sore. He was in ecstasy. He was split wide and he was melting back together. All his broken pieces and all his scars knitting together with all of Potter's. He heard himself laugh on an exhale and hitch a sob on the following inhale, and his eyes were blurry with it. All the love and all the soreness, the agony of the last 3 weeks and the whole of their lives, together and apart and sideways into every universe, dripping out of him.
So gorgeous.
Potter was babbling in Draco's ear, hoarse and barely coherent.
So clever. Love it when you bitch me out and make me feel dark. Oh God, wanted this for so long, Draco. I'll never let you go now.
When Draco came, he couldn't even speak. Couldn't warn. His sight grew blurry and his eyes squeezed closed. He was no longer the master of his body. He clenched, all of him, and it crashed over him like a wild wave breaking on rocks. He came back to his senses with his forehead pressed to sheets now wet with sweat that had dripped from his forehead. And it seemed wet from his mouth too, where he drawled open mouth onto the bedding in the fever of it. Cum spattered along stripes beneath him too. He panted into it, aware of it all. The new sharp smells of fucking. Potter above and behind him still bucking furiously with his teeth in Draco's shoulder. And then an urgent moan as he pushed in and held. Once again, all Draco could hear was his heart. Thump, thump, thump. He felt it throbbing in his asshole. Potter didn't move. Not even when he began to soften inside Draco and then abruptly zip wetly out, followed by a blurt of his cum that dripped over Draco's balls and joined the mess on the sheets.
Merlin, Harry,
Draco said into the bed with a tired laugh. And behind him, he felt more than heard Potter's hiccup breath and the wet tick of his eyelashes on Draco's shoulder blade where his face remained pressed.
Oh,
Draco said softly, pushing himself up on jellied arms, struggling to turn himself over in Potter's slippery embrace.
I've got you,
he whispered, even as his backside met the unpleasant cooling wet patch on the sheets, and Potter's weight bore him down.
I've got you.
They stayed like that for a little while. Potter's breaths a quiet shadow against Draco's throat, and Draco curled like a vine around him, legs spread wide around Potter's hips, and calves hooked around the back of his thighs in a full-body embrace. He pushed his fingers into Potter's hair and scratched gently at his scalp, the other arm tight across his back. Potter's arms were around Draco too, around his ribs in a way that wasn't entirely comfortable, but which Draco wouldn't change for anything.
Sorry, Potter said eventually, wetly. I don't usually cry when I come, I promise.
Draco kissed his hair.
Understandable that my arse would bring you to tears. It's fluttering, really. Shut up.
Potter laughed and then sighed, settling.
It's been a big week.
Average. Maybe a little above average at best.
Potter kept laughing and added several good-natured pokes of his finger into Draco's side.
Emotionally big, you twat.
Thump, thump, thump. His heart slowed.
You have bruises on your knees, did you know?
Yeah. The day you came home. You probably don't remember because you were in a state. But I sort of threw myself on the floor and never bothered to heal them.
No, I remember.
Potter's hands roamed absently over him, over his ribs and hip and down to his bruised knee.
I can sort that out, you know.
Go on, then,
Draco said. And a moment later, he felt magic gathering under Potter's palms. And when he moved them away, Draco's knees were pink and pearl again.
Nicely done.
Hermione taught me. I'll show you too, if you like.
They lay, looking at each other. Potter had such beautiful sooty eyelashes. He lit a golden freckles across the bridge of his nose.
Dare I ask how you thought that went?
Magnificent.
This isn't fishing for compliments, Potter. This is chucking a bombard at the Great Lake.
Potter laughed. He looked happy, and Draco's chest thumped.
I just want to make sure you had a good time, that's all. That I lived up to years of speculation.
My only criticism is your poor yoga knowledge. That wasn't downward dog. That was clearly child's pose. I feel like you wasted your money and body by Philippa's time.
If you insist on accuracy, it was actually half dog, half tortoise. Anyway, child's pose isn't the sexy thing to say, Mig Shag.
I'd argue that neither's half dog, half tortoise.
Potter put his lips close to Draco's ear.
The next time, I'll just tell you to be a good boy and bend low.
Draco made a noise that he'd be embarrassed about under other circumstances.
It was so good, Harry. You made me feel so good.
Potter kissed him hard and for some time.
So, my grey joggers,
Draco was half hard again, but content to just snog slowly and deep.
That does it for you? They're in the clean washing on the guest bed. Is it weird that I got jealous thinking about you wearing them with him?
If it is, I don't care. I sort of like it.
I like that you were sniffing around my washing. Who said I was sniffing anything?
Potter's voice was teasing, and Draco felt emboldened.
I did. When you were gone, I put my face in your clean washing in the laundry, and I sprayed your cologne, and I used your body wash and thought about what you'd be like in the shower while you were wet and naked.
Draco took a deep breath.
I looked in all your drawers, too. I looked everywhere in this house a dozen times over.
Potter kissed him, again and again. Small kisses on his shoulders and collarbones and the hollow of his throat.
Thought you were going to find me folded up with the tea towels.
Draco pinched him lightly on the side.
I hope so. I hoped I'll stumble with an answer, but I never did. Nor your drawer of dirty magazines, for that matter.
Potter huffed.
Those were concealed with special magic, which other Harry clearly knew because he found them in no time flat.
Harry. Draco hated the way his voice sounded.
I can't shake the feeling that I'm going to wake up and you'll still be gone.
Potter immediately tightened his arms around Draco, hitched a knee over Draco's hip.
Is that what you were dreaming about?
I've been having dreams like that all week.
Sweetheart.
Blood rushed to heat his face and his ears. If Potter was going to keep calling him that, Draco would need to learn to calm down about it or be red for the rest of his life.
I'm home. You scrubbed the old walls so thoroughly that creature sent me a howler from Hogwarts about it. There's no more portal left to fall into. And even if there was, I feel very tethered. No wild imaginings of a time or place where you and me got together. Because now we have, and I'm so happy.
It's been less than 10 hours. How will you feel in a week? I'm actually very annoying, you know. Insufferable.
I'm so happy, Potter said firmly. And I'm going to try so hard to make you happy. I'll cook for you. You don't know that about me yet. But I'm good. I'll show you.
I've been to your dinner parties before, remember?
Yes, but that wasn't boyfriend treatment. Boyfriend treatment is a whole new level. I did this pear and feta salad. You won't believe your taste buds.
Draco pushed his face in closer to Potter's shoulder. Okay, and movies. Can we watch movies?
Yeah, all the movies. You'll finally be able to answer those questions on your own at trivia night.
All right then. I suppose I accept. They lay together for a while, just breathing.
Can't believe you cried when you came. Potter huffed. It's been a massive week. You're such an asshole.
Draco grinned.
I am. My asshole brought you to tears. I'm getting up. You and your asshole can make your own omelette.
Potter did indeed roll out of bed, hair wild. A dark smile on his face as he pretended to glare at Draco and pulled on last night's pants. Draco's pants, actually. They were far too tight on him. It was stupidly hot.
What am I supposed to wear? Yours are somewhere in the hallway. You'll just have to go down as you are until we find them. Come on, you lazy ass. I'm fucking starving.
I can't wander around your house in the nude. What if Granger or Weasley pop in? Draco could have just gone across the hall to get dressed from any of his own clothing that was folded neatly on the bed. He could have taken a clean pair of Potter's pants. Instead, he slid out of bed and stood there gloriously naked. Comfortable in a way he supposed one could only be when one's partner had recently had his entire face between his arse cheeks.
I put the flu on Do Not Disturb the second you stepped through.
Confident, Draco said.
Hopeful, Potter countered. Now come down for breakfast before I throw you over my shoulder and carry you down.
Potter went down the stairs. This time, Draco went with him. The end. You've been listening to So Dawn Goes Down Today, written by Moonflower Rose and read by Reverie Pie. If you have enjoyed this story, please visit archiveofourown.org/works/652-56208 to leave kudos and comments for Moonflower Rose. Many thanks to Moonflower Rose for having blanket permission for Podfix, and thank you for listening.